Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I watched intently as the father was interacting with his young son in his arms. It was a beautiful moment. The father was pretending not to pay attention to his young boy. And I laughed as the young boy took his dad's face in his hands and turned it as if to say, "Daddy, would you look at me?" I think one of the reasons I was laughing to myself is so often it's the other way around. Come on, any of us that have children have known that moment where we've sort of taken the child's face in our hands, trying to get their attention, and we've all uttered these words, "Are you listening to me?" Well, as we continue this series, Walking with God, I want to ask you the question, are we listening to him? You see, I truly believe that God continually wants to talk to us as we walk together. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. How incredible must that have been as they walked together, as they chatted together, as they fellowshiped together. The same is said about Adam and Eve early in the garden in the book of Genesis there. And I believe that God is still speaking today. I believe God wants to reveal himself. I believe God wants to make himself known. I believe that God truly wants to fellowship with us. But the big question, the great question is this, are we listening? I think that it's so important that we understand a couple of things just to set this up this morning. Number one, God cares about everything that involves and affects you. Whatever you're going through, wherever you find yourself in life, whatever you're experiencing, God cares about you. He cares about you because he loves you. Every decision, everything that affects you, God cares. Why? Because God loves us, and I truly believe that God has a plan for our life. Pastor Daniel shared on that last week. God has a plan for our life. God has a purpose for our life. It's God's will that we would move forward in accordance with his will. So because of that, I truly believe that God is always speaking. I love the fact that with God, it's no hide and seek. It's not a case of he's saying, "Well, if you can't hear me, I'm not going to tell you." No, I believe there's no mumbling. I don't believe that it's a confused voice, but I believe it's a voice of clarity. No stumbling. Why? Because God truly wants to speak to us and reveal to us his will for our life as we move forward. But number three, and I think this is very important, let's be honest, we struggle at times to discern God's voice. Now, I know that someone listening right now is saying, no, Neil, I read my Bible, I hear from God continually, I speak in tongues, I've been going to church for years, and God bless you, but I'm talking about the rest of us, I'm talking about me, because I'll be honest, there's moments I've struggled to clearly hear the voice of God, not because God isn't speaking, but because I am not always listening. And that's the great challenge for us today. Are we listening? You know, there are rare moments in Scripture where God calls out a name twice, a double salutation. In fact, I found seven times in the Bible. Perhaps there are more. If there is, let me know. Put it in the chat. But seven places in Scripture that God calls out a name twice. Abraham, it happened to him. To Jacob, to Moses, to Samuel, to Simon, and to Saul. But the one that I want to look at today is Martha, when Jesus said these beautiful words, "Martha, Martha." Our scripture is found in Luke chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 38, and it says these words, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The context of this beautiful story is this. Jesus and his disciples have come to a village called Bethany. There is a home that belongs to this lovely family. There is Martha. She has a sister called Mary. That's the same Mary that anointed the Lord's feet with oil and wiped it with her hair. And also Lazarus, who was going to be eventually raised from the dead. Now, we must understand that hospitality was very important in these days, just like it is here in the Northeast. In fact, how you entertained strangers or opened up your doors to guests was very telling on you. If you didn't look after guests well, it literally was an embarrassment in your community. It would be a shame on your family. Now, understand, Jesus and his disciples are in the home of Martha. She's going to host them well. She's going to look after them. She is delighted that they've chosen to come to her home. And remember, the family name is on the line. There are floors to be cleaned. There are carpets to be swept. There are bathrooms to be looked after. There are dishes. Oh, we can't leave dishes lying if Jesus is going to be in the house. There's dusting and there's lots of food to prepare. And as Martha is going about in her preparations, she looks and she sees her sister Mary, and where is Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening intently. I would imagine that this was the posture of discipleship and mainly reserved for men. But here we have Mary. I think that Martha, once or twice before she said anything, would have tried to make that face to her sister. Come on, you all know that face, to get her attention, to sort of say, come on, come and help me. And eventually she couldn't take it anymore. And she turns to Jesus and she says, Jesus, don't you care that she's not helping in all these preparations? Why don't you tell her? Fix her, Jesus. Sort her out. And Jesus says these words, Martha, Martha. He says her name twice. Do you know why I think he said her name twice? I think the first Martha would not have got her attention. Remember, she's annoyed. She's frustrated. She's exasperated. She can't understand what's wrong with her sister. Her sister should know better. And Jesus had to get through the first Martha with the second Martha to get her attention. Why? Because Jesus loves us too much to leave us in that state of not listening. He needs and desires our undivided attention. Are you listening to me? Martha, Martha, are you listening to me? I'm going to be honest. I know there are a lot of people that are listening to me right now that are a lot more spiritual than I am, a lot more holy than I am, but I'm honest enough to admit I'm so thankful for that second call and third call when Jesus is getting my attention and that first meal that I'm so busy or annoyed or frustrated or my attention is elsewhere that I'm not listening clearly. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me so much and he wants to talk with me and he wants to fellowship with me that he'll say, kneel, 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 until he gets my attention. Neil, are you listening to me now? I wish I was wise enough to learn from my mistakes first time. How about you? I'm the sort of person, it seems, that I've got to make mistakes a couple of times before I eventually, it resonates, don't do that again. And I know there are a few things that have caused me to struggle in hearing and obeying God that I've had to deal with. Now, this is the things that I've had to get through my filters, but maybe some of these would resonate with you, or perhaps you'll add some more in the chat, because God has had to speak through my filters. So here's some things that have caused me not to hear clearly what God is saying. Number one, arrogance. Oh, Neil, where did that come from? Let's be honest, if you've been saved any period of time, there's a little bit in us that thinks that there are certain things we do in life that we really don't need to go to God and ask him what to do. We don't pray about it because we think we've got this covered. We're experienced. I've done this many, many times. Jesus, I don't need to listen. I don't need advice because I am more than capable. You know what that is? That is arrogance. Now, God will never force his will on us. We have free will. That's why when Adam was placed in that garden, that there was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that Adam had the choice whether he would eat of that tree or not. But God says, don't do it. Adam made a bad choice, and eventually he ate of that tree. We have a free will. God never forces us to do anything. And there are times that I just think, well, actually, I've got this covered and I haven't chosen the right thing. Why? Or made the right decision. Why? Because I'm not seeking. I'm not praying. I'm not asking for God's guidance. I'm not waiting on him. And I am so aware that for so many of us, there may be areas in our life that perhaps we're naturally gifted or over the years that we have developed and we have upskilled in a certain area. But I am so aware that what God purposed for success, the enemy perverts for our destruction. You can be so gifted in an area of wisdom or intelligence or articulation that we stop seeking and listening to God. Why? Because we just know what to do. We've done it so many times before. Question, what do you do so well that you don't seek or listen to the voice of God? I remember when my boys started driving, it's so many years ago, I'll never forget that when they would go out for their lesson, I would be praying, God, keep them safe on the road, help them. And I tell you what, my prayer life went up even more once they passed their test. Come on, can I get a witness? I would be praying, God, keep them safe. I can never get to sleep until I knew that they were back home. And I thought about that a lot at the time. It was amazing. I would pray when they were out driving. And I would pray if I was going on a long journey, if I was heading off to a journey of a couple of hours or whatever, I would pray, God, keep me safe, protect me on the road. But you know what? If I was just heading down into the town or if I was just going into Aberdeen, I'm so familiar with the roads. I could do this literally without even thinking. I've traveled this way before, and God began to convict me because I wouldn't pray if I was just going a short distance. Until I read some of the statistics, it's amazing how many accidents happen locally or not far from your home. Here's the deal. I was so experienced in driving particular roads that I didn't think that I needed to seek God's guidance, God's help, and God's protection. And maybe there's something in your life that you're just so familiar with, and yet God is speaking and God is challenging, and God wants you to listen to his voice. Here's another one. What about busyness? Oh, Neil, that's the buzz. That's the in word now. Isn't it? You speak to someone, how are you doing? I'm busy. It's almost like in culture now to admit you're not busy is to admit that something is wrong. But you know that we can be so busy that we don't have time for God. I truly believe that the world is over addicted to being busy. You know, a quiet time is now considered by many a wasted time. That when you talk about rest, people just think that you're being lazy. And for Martha, in her preparations and in her busyness, because she wanted to make sure that everything was so right for Jesus, she's so busy doing that she had no time to be at the feet of Jesus. I've lived long enough to know that not every opportunity that comes my way is ordained by God. Not every open door has been opened by God. I remember speaking a number of years ago as I chatted with a dear friend who had to make a major decision. And I'll be honest with you, I really felt that the decision he was going to make was the wrong one. So we chatted together but Neil, the door is open, everything's coming together. And I'm like, yeah, but what is God saying about this? And then he said these words. Maybe you've said this. He says, but I just feel at peace. He says, and because I feel at peace, Neil, it must be right. No, my friend. And I do believe in the peace of God. But I reminded him that Jonah was at peace. In fact, the Bible says that he was asleep in the boat. But he was running from the will of God, not running towards the will of God. He was walking in disobedience, and yet he was sound asleep in the boat. Do you know that the enemy knows how to open some doors? The enemy knows how to bring some opportunities your way. They're not necessarily evil, let me be very clear with that. But if the enemy can get you busy, 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 that's why Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are just too busy. Could it be that God's speaking to you right now, my friend, and asking you to survey your life and asking you the question, are you too busy? Are you too busy to enjoy the gift of family that God has given us? You're too busy? Oh, sorry, Neil, I don't have time for church. I have so much to fit into my schedule. You're busy? Are you exhausting your body? Is your health all out of whack? Why? Because you're busy. Do you go days without reading your Bible because you're busy? Question, my friend, God wants to speak to us, but are you just too busy? And then what about this thought, my desires? You know, I truly believe that the biggest obstacle to discernment is desire. Do you know that you could want something so much that you can convince yourself that it's the will of God? You can want someone so much that you're just convinced that it's God. It must be God. I'll never forget several years ago, three of our young ladies were praying down in one of the venues. And I wonder what they were doing. And here's the reason they were praying, that one of them really wanted to go out with this other young man. He was a fine young man. He was a good young man. But she didn't know that her friend also wanted to go out with this young boy. So anyway, three of them are there, they're praying, and the one that wanted to go out with the boy but didn't want to say to her friend says, you know, I've been praying and I think God's saying that it's not his will for you to go out with him. Well, the other young girl started to cry in tears and sob. Oh, I he's so beautiful, he's so handsome, I so think that it's right. Well, her other friend was feeling very convicted now and closed her eyes and opened them again and says, hey, it's all right. God's changed his mind. Maybe you find yourself in a situation that because you desire something or something, someone so much that you don't even hear clearly what the voice of God is saying. Now, let me say this. I know that God truly wants to give all of us the desires of our heart. In fact, Psalm 37 verse 4 says this, that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. That's so good. But it's rooted in the fact that we must delight ourselves in the Lord. In other words, we must firstly be rooted and grounded in him. Our deepest desire must be for God, that we want God more than anything, more than anyone, that we want God more than a good job, more than money, more than success, more than any other person or any individual. When we delight ourselves in him, then he gives us the desires of our heart. We need to get that point where we can pray like Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. Well, if arrogance stops us hearing from God, if busyness can stop us hearing from God, if our desires can stop us hearing from God, here's a biggie, you're not going to like this one. How about sin? I know it's old fashioned to talk about sin. It's one of those words now that's not mentioned that much, but you know, the book of Hebrews tells us, be careful, lay aside every weight, and listen to this, and the sin that so easily traps us or entangles us. Do you know that everyone alive, everyone listen to my voice, there's that thing that just catches you that you've constantly got to be on your guard against. You know, if we don't live a repented life, if we walk in disobedience, that will stop us hearing the voice of God. If we're continually saying no to what God says, if we're continually walking our own way, doing our own thing, we're never going to hear the voice of God. Why? We must truly walk according to His word and walk in righteousness. We must do what God requires, God demands, God desires. We can't discern the will of God if we allow sin to rule and reign, as the Bible says, in our life. And I've discovered something. Disobedience in one area can affect discernment in another. Here's the matter, here's the truth. Here's the matter of fact that you can have 9 things going good, but if you allow this one thing, this one area that we allow sin to get into our life and invade us, you know what that will take away from all the other? You know, doing good 9 times, but that one time, you know, that doesn't pass the test with God. God desires us to be wholly committed and yielded and giving over to Him. And my friend, if there's sin in your life, and in no sense am I making a judgment call on anyone, because these are the things that affect Neil Cameron. These are the things that stop me truly hearing from God, that I know if I allow bitterness to get in my life, the Bible says that it can become a root, and root always produces fruit. If I don't deal with that, if I don't deal with anger, if I don't deal with malice, if I let these things rule in my life, before you know it, they will reign in my life and will stop me hearing from God. The other day, I had my AirPods on. I was on taking a telephone call, and as I'm speaking, I was walking around the house. I was doing some things, and I went out to put some of the rubbish into the bin, which is outside my house. As I did this, I couldn't hear the person I was talking to anymore, and I kept saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And nothing. And I suddenly realized that because I had gone outside, I had walked away from the phone. I had gone too far away to hear the voice. Do you want? I realized something. You cannot walk away from the source and still expect to hear the voice. Just look at the life of Samson. And I realized that, hey, I was distracted. I'm talking to my friend, but I'm busy doing other things, and I allowed that distraction for me to take the rubbish out, which is a good thing to do. But I wasn't focused on listening to the voice. My friend, I believe that God truly desires to speak to us today. Here's the question. Are you listening? But perhaps, like me, because of arrogance, busyness, desires, or even sin, we struggle to hear God. But I love the fact that just like Martha, that God says, Neil, Neil, He wants to get my attention. And just like that little boy took his dad's face in his hands as his dad was playing with him and focused his dad on him, I believe that God wants to focus our eyes on Him and say, are you listening to me? I believe God has a good plan. I believe God has a perfect plan for all of our lives. I believe there are exciting things ahead. I still believe that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or even think. But the question this morning, as we walk with Jesus, is, are you listening to his voice? I know nowadays there are many voices competing for our attention. Everywhere you go, there is noise, noise, noise. The most important voice that we can hear in the midst of our busyness, in our situation, and our circumstance is the voice of God. Are we listening? Hey friend, maybe you've never responded to that voice of God which is inviting you to come closer and have a relationship with him. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door," referring to Jesus, "and knock." Jesus is knocking on our heart's door. Why? Because he wants to get our attention. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. And I would love to pray with you now. If you have never responded to Jesus, if you're honest enough to admit you don't have a relationship with him, can we pray right now? Would you pray this simple prayer after me? Hey, get past your arrogance. I don't need no Jesus. I'm master of my own life. Get past your busyness. Hey, I don't have time for that stuff. Hey, do you know how busy my schedule is? Get past your desires that you think perhaps are good, but actually they're going to delay you moving forward in life. They're going to hinder you. You think it's good, but some of that stuff actually that you desire is not going to be helpful to you. Because for all of us, perhaps there's sin in our life which is not good. If you would love to respond to Jesus, to that knocking, to his voice that says, are you listening? Would you pray with me right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner, but you are my Savior. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. I make you Lord of all, and I give my life to you as I surrender to your will in Jesus' name. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, Daniel will come in a moment and he will encourage you to get in touch with us. It's the best thing you could do. Now, fellow Christian, here's the big question. Here's the question that I asked myself in prayer before I preached today. Neil Cameron, are you listening to the voice of God? My friend, are you listening?